What's up, guys? It's Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the recruiting podcast. What's up, Adam Gray?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
We got a name for this yet?
Oh, yeah. On the Trail.
This is the On the Trail Podcast.
On the Trail Podcast, yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I like it. You came up with that all by yourself, too.
All by myself.
If someone threw that out to you?
No, it was just all by myself.
Okay, guys. Goodbye.
Bye, Mark.
We're still in the Charterhouse Agency office. So, yeah, so what do we got going on this week? Actually, breaking news, and this won't be breaking anymore because we'll be posting this on Friday, but Jordan Harris is going to be a grad transfer going to another school.
Yeah, that doesn't really make much of a difference for recruiting, but obviously it hurts for this year, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you can think of for recruiting is if Iowa State then went out and got themselves a grad transfer that they could plug in and put at the middle linebacker position.
For sure.
You know, it's funny. So he comes to Iowa State. He struggles his first year. They redshirt him. I think he led junior colleges in tackling, maybe a first-team All-American JUCO player. But last year he played well. I wouldn't say he was a great middle linebacker, but did good. You'd think as a fifth-year senior he would kind of take the next step. But it did seem like he was struggling under this new coaching staff and probably a little bit different scheme. So I wonder how much of that played into him deciding to transfer.
Yeah, for sure. I think – and he was a guy that when he first got to Iowa State, I feel like he kind of struggled with getting into the scheme a little bit, and that always seemed to be the thing that held him back, according to Wally Burnham when he was around. So, yeah, but obviously it's a big loss. One of your leading tacklers from last year, he might have been the leading tackler, wasn't he? Or he was right up there.
He was right up there, yeah.
So one of your leading tacklers from a season ago, obviously that's not good at all.
How is that? I mean, it shouldn't, but one of his best friends and the reason we got DeMond Tucker.
Yeah. Here.
Hopefully that doesn't have any impact on DeMond.
Well, yeah. The only thing is I think with Jordan, he was going to be a little bit lower maybe on – I don't know that he was going to start game one, you know.
It'd be interesting to see how they do this defense because the talk is a 4-2-5.
Right.
You know, he might not have. You're right.
And that might – you know, being a guy that's a senior – that might not be something that sits well with him. So
you got to – just speculating, but you're probably imagining he'll go somewhere south to a school.
Yeah, he said he wants to go closer to his family. And he's from Mississippi. So.
That's right. Okay. Huh. Well, it's too bad. Hope the best for Jordan. And, yeah, now we're ready to talk about some recruits. What are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, for sure. I've got this – I'm putting together a hot board.
Hot
the board? The 10 most – or 10 – most needed recruits.
Most Iowa needed. That's how right now. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to characterize it.
Are we going to put this up on Cyclone Fanatic and keep changing it?
It'll be posted every week, or probably not every week during the summer, but at least once that starts to heat up, maybe later on. Every other week, maybe.
With a new website coming out, are we going to have like an actual tab where it's strictly recruiting?
You'll have to ask CW that, but
we should.
If it's up to me, we will. So okay. I think that we will.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be good. So who do we got? Who's your number one on the hot board as we stand here June 10th, 2016?
Caleb Chandler. The offensive lineman from Georgia.
I agree. Iowa State's got currently, three offensive linemen already committed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by far and away the biggest need on this team. And the staff obviously has got an offensive line background. So you got a vision. They want a stud. He is the top guy, 4-star from Georgia. So I agree with that.
Number two, I've got Cam White. The safety from Mississippi.
Now, are you going – so
– this one, as much as anything, it's because I think that if they were able to get him, it would open the doors for them to get in with some other top-level guys.
To say, hey, look, we got this 4-star from down here in Mississippi.
Right.
Every other school wants this kid, and we're able to come get him.
Yeah.
We're turning the corner here.
Right, obviously. And it's just like some other kids might see that, and they're like, wow, you know. He's a big-time guy. Yeah. If this big-time guy wants to go to Iowa State, there must be something happening at Iowa State. I need to go check that out.
This staff must be legit.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you because, I mean, safety obviously is an important position. And
and it doesn't even have that much to do with on the field. Like, he's a good player, obviously.
Yeah.
But like I said, as much as anything, it has to do with the momentum that I think it could bring.
How highly he's rated, his offers, and more importantly, where he's located.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree. Okay. So he's number two, Cam White.
Three, I've got junior college defensive lineman Ray Lima. That was a close one. I almost put him number two because I think they need somebody from the junior college ranks along that defensive line.
So Raylim is one of the JUCO defensive linemen. Who's the other JUCO defensive lineman that Iowa State's after? Is he still available?
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember his name, and Chris is calling me right now.
Nah, ignore him. So, yeah, I mean, because I agree with you, especially with – you look at who we're losing next year. DeMont Tucker's gone. Billy Pirak is gone.
Yeah.
Bobby Leith will be gone. They need one, maybe even two JUCO defensive linemen to come in and be ready to play. So Ray Lima, if it was me, I'd probably switch Ray Lima and Cam White, but I completely understand why you have Cam White number two.
Yeah, and like I said, it was one of those ones where I was putting this together, and you and I were texting about it, and I was like, you know, you can think of it so many different ways, and when you think of it all these different ways, then it changes the whole order of it, you know. And
it's kind of like the MVP, like voting.
When right. You see if the NBA, it's all a moving
who's
target.
Who's the best player? Yeah. Who's got the best team? I mean – it's however you want to look at it can be different. So, okay.
Number four, I've got another defensive lineman. This guy, a high school kid, though, Bobby Rountree.
What do you think about him?
He's got a good frame. He's a guy that I think is CW just texted me now. He's got a good frame. He looks like a guy that's going to be explosive, and he looks like somebody that can put along a little bit of weight, you know, and – if maybe he could move inside, be a big defensive tackle, or he could stay on the outside. He's a good athlete to stay outside at the end. And then he's a high school kid. He's pretty highly rated. You get some junior college guys up in front of him, give him a little bit of time to develop, and you can help building up your trenches a little bit more.
I agree. Now, Bobby, if I remember correctly, 6'5 already, 220.
Yeah.
He's a kid that you look at on film, and
right.
he looks that size.
So that's what I'm saying. He's got the frame of a college football player.
No, I agree. And you know, it's always nice. You could get guys like a Ray Lima to plug and play that are junior college guys. You get a grad transfer here there. And you have to have those guys at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But for Iowa State to consistently get to the level where we all want them to, where they're going to bowl games over and over, they got to recruit these high school kids like this and build them up and keep them here. You go back and look at the last four or five recruiting classes. Sure, we've got some nice hits, but we've also had a lot of kids that you don't see play as juniors and seniors. They're gone. They're leaving Iowa State. Iowa State can't have that because they're not recruiting at the level to where they can just plug in somebody else and be ready to go. So I agree. Iowa State's got to do better getting big high school kids in here, building their bodies up, and having them ready to play as their redshirt sophomore juniors.
And really, it's gonna start in the trenches, you know, for rebuilding this thing and building it into something that can be sustained.
Do you know what my biggest worry is? So we got Al Lazard, who talent wise might be one of the best wide receivers Iowa State's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never quite see him be as great at Iowa State as he could be because Iowa State will never have an offensive line that could probably allow the quarterback the comfort level to be as accurate throwing him the ball as we would like.
For sure.
And that's kind of frustrating. And I hope I'm wrong on that. I hope that the staff can kind of figure out a way to mold this offensive line together to be better than what me and you are probably expecting. But hopefully they can start getting these guys in here to where that will be a problem going forward. But I do worry about that with Lazard a little bit.
Number five, I've got Octavius Morgan, the junior college defensive back from Butler County.
I want this kid bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing in the Big 12, where teams throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. You've got to have great cornerbacks. I come from a phenomenal program. He's got big-time offers. He's got good size. And Brian Peavy will be a year older.
Mm-hmm.
They got some other guys around him. This kid, you could put in there right away, I think, and be your second cornerback next year.
I'm actually going to call an audible on the sixth spot.
Yeah, move him.
Marquise Hayes. I'm going to go number seven.
Oh, you're switching up.
Or number six,
Did I talk you this?
Yeah. Well, I just thought about it a little bit more. I was kind of talked myself into it too. But
yeah. Marquise Hayes.
Offensive lineman from Missouri. Sorry.
To me, you could put him and Caleb Chandler 1A, 1B as far as that goes because I think for Iowa State to get over the next step, it's got to start on the offensive line. And here's a kid who it looks like his stock just kind of keeps rising. He keeps going to these camps, doing a great job. It would be a big-time pull if Iowa State could get him.
Then I'm going to go Trey Coleman at number seven, the running back.
People that are listening, if you haven't watched this kid's tape, go watch his tape.
Yeah.
This kid's legit.
Definitely.
He's legit. To me, Trey Coleman, as far as pure talent, you could bump him up quite high, almost in the Cam White category, in my opinion. But as far as a need goes, running backs, to me, you can always find running backs with a good offensive line. You can plug him in there. So I actually probably wouldn't even have Trey, as far as a need goes, a little bit lower. Talent-wise, higher. So I think seven's perfect spot for him.
Number eight, I've got Keontae Jones, the safety from Ohio, brother of Iowa State signee DeShante Jones.
the very first podcast we did, this is a kid you wanted more than anyone else.
Yeah. He's moved down a little bit, but, I mean, again, like with need, you know, if you can get Cam White, you want Cam White first, obviously, you know. So, I mean, he obviously would be someone that I want, like, I like him a lot, and I think he's going to be a very good player, but obviously if you're number eight still, it's still pretty high.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then number nine, LeSean Miner, defensive lineman from Florida.
See, how I had Caleb Chandler and Marcus Hayes 1A, 1B, I think you could do the same thing with Bobby Roundtree and LeSean Miner, both high school kids that you can get in here,
mm-hmm.
build up. Iowa State, just from what they've done in the past, they need to do a better job of recruiting high school big guys on the defensive line and building them up. If you really look at it, I mean, think about the guys that are on that are going to be starting for Iowa State this year. DeMond Tucker, junior college player. Jahostin Thomas, junior college player. Bobby Leith, junior college player. There's not a lot of guys that Iowa State has got developed right now.
Right.
Piraka, I guess, is on the two deep. He's been there. But a lot of Iowa State's best linemen the years past, Corey Morrissey, came from a junior college. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Iowa State needs to get more of the high school kids, and LeSean Miner would be one that fit really well.
And then number 10, I'm going to call another audible.
Oh, no, you did it.
Karan Hafiz, the defensive back from Florida. You talked me out of it.
You didn't like how I killed you last week for the – so for people listening, Jared had the kicker, Brandon Ruiz, in here at number 10.
But if we're going to talk need, then that would probably be up there.
Because they need a kicker.
Yeah, because if they don't get one, then they're going to –
Nat is a senior this year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with having a kicker in their 10th. When you first said it, I was glad that you put the kicker last.
Yeah.
And that's tongue-in-cheek. I'm joking on that, but – I don't – how do you say the kid's name?
Karan Hafiz.
Karan Hafiz. Looks like a nice cornerback, high school kid from where?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
He'll be on a visit on
– The 25th?
June
25th.
Yep, June 25th.
Yeah. He'd be nice. I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping Brandon Ruiz on there too. I joke with you when you said he was the one that you wanted the most. Iowa State – You know, people, after listening to this, I got a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, Gray obviously doesn't remember the 2005 games.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember losing those. I do remember losing those games. Iowa State lost games in overtime that they should have won in regulation if their offense was better.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, he missed a kick. Everyone thinks that Culberson's missed field goals lost Iowa State the game. Even if he made those field goals, they still might have lost the game. Those weren't ones to win it. I think Iowa State's kicker problems have been a little bit overplayed in years past. Cole Nett was not a bad kicker last year. He missed one important kick against Toledo. The rest of the games, he was okay. He was a very – if you look at the national average, he was an average kicker. Iowa State's lack of offense was a way, way, way bigger problem than field goal kicking has ever been for Iowa State, ever. So that's why Brandon Ruiz, to me, while it would be nice and be excited if we got him, he looks like a stud, I put him down a little lower on my list.
There you go. There's our top 10. I'll have it posted on cyclonefanatic.com. Well, hopefully by the time this is posted.
Yeah,
so.
You're going to have to make some changes, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that was just my – I wrote that out. That was just my rough draft.
Yeah.
I sent you a picture in my handwriting notes.
I thought you did a good job. I didn't – like I said, there's a couple that you could kind of maybe disagree with, but it's – I mean, you're arguing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue any way you want to on that.
So, you got anything else to add? It's a short one today.
This is a short one. No. Hopefully, maybe next week we'll talk – we'll have a little bit of basketball mm-hmm. as well.
For sure.
So –
All right, so thanks for listening, guys. Make sure and check out the hot board on the site. Make sure and we'll have all kinds of other good stuff throughout the weekend. So thanks for listening. Have a good weekend, everybody.